conservative,
Christian, mother, wife,
Air Force veteran,
gun rights advocate.
This is Stacy on the Right. Here's your host, Stacy Washington.
You're live and direct with Stacy Washington. Some say I'm in a cult. Some say I hate myself. Some say that I'm a paid shill. I'm here to tell you that I'm a radio host broadcasting out of the heartland, telling the truth every night, because that's my job, and interviewing the best guests, which includes our next guest frequently on the program and heard elsewhere on other high-quality media, is Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, retired. She's a spokesperson for National Police Association. Thank you so much, Sergeant Betsy, for coming on.
Hey, Stacy, great to be with you tonight.
I'm glad you're here, too. So there's so much news in the law enforcement space, and so we're going to try to get everything in. You brought a lot of content for us tonight to catch us up. I'd like to start off with the multiple law enforcement officers who've been shot and killed recently as this trend continues well into the year. We started off the year discussing this, and we're still discussing it in September.
Yeah, we've had, I'm starting to lose count. We've had, I think it's over 260 police officers shot already this year. We just had two shot in rural Illinois in the town I went to college in, Macomb, Illinois. We just had two Chicago cops hit, we think on purpose, not by gunfire, but by a motor vehicle. We had four police officers shot in Texas in the last few days, and the list goes on and on and on. There is a war on cops in this country, and we have got to talk about it in a way that helps people to understand that we are also the victims of violent crime, and yet the American law enforcement officer continues to go out there and do their jobs. One of the police officers killed in Dallas, Texas, a few days ago was a former teacher. He left education not just a few years ago and said, "You know what? I think I want to do more than just education to help kids." And he was already a fantastic teacher and mentor. He becomes a police officer and is shot and killed. So, yeah, we continue to deal with the war on cops.
So it's a brutal truth. And, you know, if you're paying attention to the news, you know, there are deaths, you know, pretty much at every quarter. But this is difficult because it adds to the already huge deficit in officers that we're experiencing since the rise of the Defund the Police movement. And even though municipalities are finally coming to their senses and reversing their, you know, hard on police stances and all cops are bad, they're going against that now. But it's not enough to just go against it. You don't instantly get the officers back that you lost. And so this is a really tough time.
Well, it really is. You know, we've had 96 police officers, nearly 100, die in the line of duty already this year. You know, and 36 of them by gunfire. But then we've had six killed by vehicular homicide. We've had two stabbed to death, and it goes on and on and on. And this is already a profession that is demoralized. This is a profession that has been depleted. So when you look at these police departments and you see that these officers are working, you know, 12, 14-hour shifts, they're working their days off because they just don't have the staffing. Although there was a study that just came out last week, I believe. It was an academic study. There was some humor. I found it humorous because of what I do for a living. But a group of academics, Stacey, they were shocked to discover that police officers in rural and suburban areas are getting hurt and assaulted and killed at the same or better rate than our urban police officers. And it was, you could tell these academics were shocked to find out that police officers, not only were police officers getting assaulted, but they were getting involved in officer-involved shootings. And these academics were shocked to find out that people in rural communities and suburban communities are dealing with the same kinds of crime as are people in urban areas. So I thought that was interesting as well. And, just so your listening audience understands, you're actually more likely to get hurt as a rural or suburban cop than you are as a big city cop. And we will likely have about 80,000 police officers assaulted this year by year's end. 80,000.
80,000.
And there's only so about 750,000 cops existing in this country. 80,000 will be assaulted.
Well, we used to have 1 million. I remember the stat because I quoted it on air. 1 million officers, 1 billion interactions with the public, and just over 1,000 officer-involved shootings. That's what we used to have.
Right, exactly.
That's what we used to have. Now we're down to 750,000, and 80,000 of them will be shot in 1 year?
Will be assaulted. Assaulted. In 1 year.
Assaulted.
And that's everything from, stabbed and beaten and shot and run over and everything that you can imagine that one human being would do to another. And of these last, about 10 shootings, police officers being shot in the last week, at least half of them were officer ambushes and or executions. Again, the officer in Dallas, he was a guy walked up to the side of his patrol car, acting as though he wanted to chat with him, and was Facebook, was videoing it, was putting it on Facebook Live, and then just pulled out a firearm and executed the police officer where he sat.
Ugh. Oh, wow. Okay, so if you're of the praying kind out there, please pray for our police officers in this country. And so maybe you might not have such an affinity for them. Then think of it this way. Pray for the officers you expect to respond if you ever have to dial 911. So in other words, pray for them, right? Because you don't know if you're going to need to. But I know if one of your family members needs to dial 911, if you're on the side of the road in a ditch, if you think someone's about to assault you and you dial 911, you're going to pray that officer gets there super fast. So before you have to make that call, God forbid you ever have to, pray for these officers. Now, this was a story that I saw come across my feed as I was reading news, the shooting of San Francisco 49ers rookie Ricky Pearsall. What happened there?
So Mr. Pearsall, who's 24 years old, is just at 3:30 in the afternoon. He is walking in Union Square. If anybody's ever visited San Francisco, like I have as a tourist back in the day, that's one of the places that you go, Union Square. And that's where you get your Ghirardelli, chocolate and things like that. It's a really pretty area. He's just walking down the street with a friend, and a 17-year-old approaches him with a handgun and demands his Rolex. Ricky says nope, and he starts to fight. So during the course of this altercation, Ricky Pearsall gets shot in the chest. It goes through and through out his back. The offender who takes off also gets shot. He is apprehended down the line. 911 is called, and Ricky Pearsall is going to be okay. In fact, he's only going to miss about 3 games, and I think partially because he's so young and fit. But one of the first people on the scene was a female police sergeant who knelt down with him. She took off her baseball hat, stuck that in his exit wound. She covered the sucking chest wound that he had and started to talk to him. And he said, I'm a player for the 49ers. And she said, then you got to be tough. Think about this like you're on the field. I need you to be tough. I need you to slow down your breathing. You're going to be okay, but I need you to be tough. And you know what? He slowed his breathing. She got that sucking chest wound to stop. And I hope everybody's seen the video of that young man walking to the ambulance before he lays down on the gurney. It's an incredible story of athleticism and survival, and exactly what you just said a couple of minutes ago, who those people are that are responding to those 911 calls. That police sergeant undoubtedly saved his life. Mm-hmm. The 17-year-old is in custody. We don't yet know his name or anything about him, Stacey. Mm. Not sure why that is, but we have our suspicions that maybe he doesn't fit a narrative. I don't know if he was in this country illegally. Maybe he's a gangbanger.
Awful.
We haven't heard. And we're not even sure. Right now we're hearing that he's going to be charged as a juvenile.
Oh, that's hardly fair. He blows a hole in a guy's chest and he's charged as a juvenile.
Right.
So,
17 years old.
This, and I'll just piggyback on that real quick. Right. So he didn't know who was going to respond when he didn't know he was going to be shot. First of all, who knows they're going to get shot. But she used superior training and interpersonal skills developed over time. She's invaluable. And that's what we have to think about when these officers are getting gunned down. We're losing the training, the individual capabilities. And these are people with a heart for service. They're actually serving the public. It's a thankless job being in law enforcement. I just think about how she must have been feeling on the inside, and she realized if she freaked out, he was a dead guy. So she just walked him through it. I don't know what she must have been thinking or feeling herself, but she calmed herself down, maintained her composure to keep him calm so that he could survive. That is just an unbelievably encouraging story. And I hope people will take that. And so she's not a one-off. One of my favorite videos I saw in 2023 was the police officer shows up and the mom is outside screaming and she's holding a tiny baby over her hand. She's got the baby basically on the baby's stomach and the baby is kind of stiffened up a little bit. And she said, not breathing, not breathing. And the officer takes the baby out of her hand and assumes the same position with the baby, the baby's stomach in his hand. And he begins to hit the baby on the back because the baby's not breathing. He's thinking there's something lodged in the baby's throat. She's walking around in circles screaming and crying because the baby is, you know, I guess been not breathing for a few minutes before the officer arrived. He keeps hitting the baby's back and then you hear this cry. He turns the baby over and he just kind of looks at her. And then it's like a cursory head to toe look. Then he hands the baby back to the mom. It's the best video. And it's kind of grainy. You know, it's not like it's a home security video, right? So he dislodges whatever it was. The baby screams. He turns the baby over, looks it over, and then hands it right back to the mother. And she takes the baby. She's squeezing and she's crying. She's thanking him. And he kind of shrugs his shoulders like, oh, I'm so glad that worked. It's just the most real thing. And it's my favorite video from an officer from last year just because it's so real. It's so like he just jumps out of the car and comes running over because I don't know if he even knew what was like what he was responding to. But she's outside walking around in a circle holding the baby and kind of, you know, trying to manipulate the baby. And so there's so many of those stories. We don't see the video. There's no video. There's no one to come on the show and tell us. And I know that officers make mistakes and that they're human beings and they're not perfect. But I just happen to have a strong affinity for them because my dad was in law enforcement, two careers in law enforcement. And I just remember him being really tired and weary of people thinking he was the bad guy just because he was a cop. And they all go through that. So we have more here. And this next story, I really wanted to get your opinion on it because I'm so frustrated by the same narrative being played out with these school shootings. This 14-year-old boy had actually had a face-to-face with the FBI over making threats to shoot up a school the year before when he was 13. His parents knew this. He denied it, of course, but they had the evidence that they presented to the parents. They couldn't justify arresting him. The dad gives him an AR-15 for Christmas, and now you've got 4 dead people in this high school and 9 injured, which thank God the 9 are going to survive. But it's a tragedy, another tragedy.
Well, yes, and now you've got, so dad is being charged as well with a whole slew of crimes, and he's in custody as well. But when you look at the background of this kid, he has got, you know, dad buys him an AR-15 after getting flagged by the FBI, and the local law enforcement authorities came and talked to dad. They talked to the young man, but they were never able to put those online threats in 2023 on this 13-year-old. He used something called Discord. If you are a parent and your kid plays online video games, know what Discord is. Know how to access your kid's Discord account. And it's basically, it's a messaging service sort of thing for anybody can use it. Anybody can get an account, but it's usually mostly by gamers. That's where these threats were made. But you can change you can change where this comes from on the internet. So it can come from California, but it looked like it comes from New York, et cetera. So they were never able to actually pin these threats on this kid. And the dad said, yeah, I got a couple of hunting guns, but, you know, he doesn't have access to them. Fast forward to this past Christmas, dad buys him an AR-15 style rifle. But this kid, when you look at his background, he's got a mother who's got a long rap sheet. It kind of looks like dad was the better of the two parents. Mom's an addict. She's gotten arrested for everything from domestic violence to child abuse. She would frequently lock out this kid and a younger sibling, lock him out into the cold in the winter. Crazy stuff. He's got an aunt in Florida who went on social media and kind of went nuts, sort of threatening people on social media. She's taken a lot of that down. It sounds like this kid really never had a chance. And his aunt did say one thing that I think is very profound, that the adults in the life of this child truly failed him.
Because I love it when someone who's in the family, right? Someone's in the family. They know he's being failed. Why didn't she take him in?
Yep.
She could have took him down to Florida.
Now she's going to defend him. She said, you know, and she's making all these threats that don't say bad things about my nephew. And it's like, why didn't you drive up to Georgia from Florida and take custody of this poor kid if you thought that it was so bad? But I got to tell you, one of the things we need to look at, you know, he was new to this school. You know, we haven't gotten his whole school record yet, but had he been kicked out of another school or expelled, or why was he changing schools? You know, he was known to kids from other schools. Then he came to this school. We're doing a lousy job of dealing with troubled youth. And I wonder if this child, has he been put on medication and things like that? I think there's probably, we're going to find out that there's even more and more and more wrong with this kid and wrong in his life. But having said all that, Stacey, and you and I have talked about this many times, being a criminal is a choice. Even at 14, you have the wherewithal, the mind to make a choice to either be a good member of society or to be completely evil. We've got to talk about criminality, even in this horrible.
So I got to say, I let out a sigh of resignation because I was waiting on this information. I read the timelines on Fox News and some of the other websites where they were going through. And today I saw, so the dad bought him a gun. And then I saw that they arrested the dad. And I was like, okay, so some dereliction of duty on the parent's part. But a person makes a choice to respond to a bad life circumstance by killing other people, right? There are literally hundreds of thousands of children who are neglected by their parents. Their parents are drug addicts. They're abusers. They're, you name it. And those kids choose not to kill people. When someone decides my life sucks and so I'm going to go tear up some other people's lives, that's a decision they've made that they're going to have to sit with, because the people they killed, those family members have to sit with what they've had go on. I feel sorry for the kid in the aspect that he didn't have people who loved him. Even his big mouth aunt, she didn't really love him because she never rescued him. But at the end of the day, he decided to kill those people. He decided to ask his dad for an AR-15. He was planning it way back then. So it's just a travesty.
Well, and then you have a parent or parents, that they further, especially this father, they further these evil machinations, whatever it is. I cannot imagine what this father was thinking buying this child any sort of firearm, much less a rifle. And it's going to be interesting from a legal perspective to see how this case goes. He's been charged with multiple counts of involuntary manslaughter. It's going to be interesting to see if they're able to get a conviction. I think they're trying to do what they did in Michigan with the Michigan
yes.
school shooter.
I was just about to ask you, because that kind of set a precedent for the parents, prosecuting the parents.
Yeah, the Chumbies. But they kind of took some other steps or actions in furtherance, and that's why they were convicted. This case is going to be it's a little bit different. But again, we haven't seen all the messages and the texts, and we don't know all the conversations between father and son to know whether the father did more than just purchase this firearm for him.
They're going to get that in the case. Sometimes we forget all the text messages, like all the communication that we have now. It used to be if there was a diary or if there were letters. Now it's texts, phone calls. They can trace all of that. His search history, because they now know that he was kind of obsessed with one of the other school shooters from long ago. He kind of used his name.
Yeah, Adam Lanza. He was very obsessed with Adam Lanza. He had some crazy social media stuff. A lot of like real dark images, on his social media and things like that. And again, parents and grandparents listening, just stick your nose into what your kids are doing, what kind of games they're playing, and all of that. Stop thinking that as long as you know what they're doing on Instagram and whatever, you know what they're doing. There are things that you don't really know about or understand that you need to know when it comes to your kids' online activity, their gaming, their smartphone, all of that. And then the mental health issues that we continue to deal with, we continue to see. And all of this to say that when you hear people start blathering about background checks and blathering about the NRA and talking about more gun control and this and that, none of what the gun control crowd loves to talk about would have stopped this school shooting.
Yeah, and so I'll piggyback, Sergeant Betsy, on what you were talking about, Discord. So for the older parents and amongst us, hope I don't date myself too much, but I do read a lot. Discord is like a combination of a party line from way back in the day, right? So a bunch of people are on the phone together.
Yeah.
Discord enables you to have a group chat, and let's say five of your friends from high school are in five separate states across the country. If you each have a Discord account, you can get on Discord and join the same line and listen to each other and watch a movie together. You can also host video within the Discord chat so that you can all watch the same video together on the same screen. You're on your phone, you're on your laptop, Betsy. I'm on my desktop computer. Whatever electronic you're using, you can use it. Discord also allows you to share files, and you can build things on Discord. I happen to have a Discord account because I use the AI. Mid Journey draws AI, and that's how I'm able to participate in the kind of AI revolution of creating images. I go on there and I create images in it's a new way to create images. And when I saw it rolled out, I knew I could get help with it because one of our children is on I think they all have a Discord account, but one of them is really proficient at it. And so as a parent, I know you're probably thinking, oh, I don't even know how to ask my child if they have this. You can say, are you on Discord? And if they say, what do you know about Discord? You say, are you on it? Now, I think 99.9% of you parents out there, if your child has a phone, you're paying for it. If they have access to the internet at your house, you're paying for the internet. If your kid says, no, you don't have the right to look at my Discord, that's my private. Kids don't have any privacy. Kids don't own rooms in your home. They don't own their phones. They don't own anything unless they've gone out and gotten jobs over the summer and are literally buying their own phone, buying their own cell phone plan and paying the monthly bill. If you're paying for it, it's actually your property. So I'm not saying to go to your kid and be really heavy handed, but if they push back, you just tell them, I'm your parent. I care about you. And I'm also the owner of that phone and that phone plan. And I want to take a look at your Discord. And if you don't want to show it to me, that means you probably have things on there that I'm not going to like. And so we need to make a routine out of doing, you know, checks for me to make sure that you're okay, because I'm concerned and it's my job as your parent to make sure that your room is clean and that now that I know you have Discord, that your Discord is clean. Because if the FBI comes sniffing and they have a whole bunch of stuff on there, you're going to be in big trouble. And that's how we have to talk to our kids, because we're in the information age. So I'm empowering you as a parent to do that. Do not allow your child to tell you they can't show you their cell phone, their text messages, their Discord. And dollars to donuts, if you have a Gen Alpha, Gen Z, they have Discord. If I have it, you know your kids have it. So definitely.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, if I have, I was like, oh, I even told my daughter, I was like, I signed up for Discord. She said, did you? I said, yeah. She said, okay, well, do you need my help? I said, yeah, I think I do. And she came on there and showed me a couple of things. It's pretty simple, but it's not intuitive like Facebook. So you won't jump on there and be using it 1,000 miles a minute, but you can get on there and use it. And as their parent, maybe you want to have a Discord. Maybe you want to understand how it works so you can figure out if your kid is on there. Most of the people in this listening audience, your kids are not involved in anything that you would be ashamed of, but why take the risk? These parents are negligent, but the one who was good, or the aunt, somebody in his family should have been monitoring his social media activities, especially after the FBI came knocking. The dad should have been paying attention.
Well, exactly. This kid really was let down by all the adults in his life. And so it's a lesson to the rest of us on what we can do to help all the young people in our lives, you know, kids, grandkids, neighbors, kids at church, you know, whatever it is. And when you look at something like this, again, I encourage everybody. And if your kid says, well, I paid for this smartphone myself with the money I earned over the summer, point to the roof and remind them who pays for that and who pays for the electric bill and all that. But I talked to my 11-year-old grandson this weekend, and we talked about how many of his friends have smartphones. He does not yet have a smartphone. My son won't let him have one, thank God. And but he told me about at least half of his friends have smartphones and no one pays attention to it. They can look at whatever YouTube video they want and this and that. And this 11-year-old knew so much more than I had anticipated about so many things. So pay attention, everyone, to what's happening. This kid in Georgia was 13 when he started making online threats that he carried out a year and a half later. It's up to us to pay attention.
Yep. And the other part is what you just said, Sergeant Betsy. So capitalize on what Sergeant Betsy just said. Your kid knows so much about Discord and Minecraft. And I can't even begin to name them all off. If I sit here long enough, I could name them all off, because my kids are into them. And my kids are young adults now, but it's a lot of work. You're kind of like, you know, it's like corralling cats, because they move through these social media sites. Like, I remember when Snapchat was it was huge. Now my kids have moved on from Snapchat. They don't care. They left Facebook in the dust over 10 years ago. And so they're quickly moving through these technologies, and kind of, it's almost like the same way that we used to be obsessed with the band and then we would no longer like that band after 3 years. That's how they are about the social media and the online like universes that they interact with. But it's a great way to get to know your kid. Instead of looking at it as an insurmountable task and a job you'll never be able to handle, instead ask your kid, so what social media do you use? And if they get a little defensive, say, I'm your parent. I just want to know what you use so I can understand your world. I just want to
ask them.
Yeah.
Yeah, ask them to teach you.
Mm-hmm. Show me how it works.
Say, you know what? I want to learn how to do this. Can you teach me how to do this? That they'll talk your ear off for hours and hours and hours if you ask them to teach you. And you'll learn some crazy new skills.
Crazy new skills. And you know what makes what keeps you young? Learning crazy new skills. Drawing using the AI chatbot on Midjourney. I mean, that it keeps me, I feel like I'm still plugged in. Because without that, my cultural icons and things that I really enjoy are kind of passe for these young kids because they're so technologically advanced. But the way to stay plugged into them is, like Sergeant Betsy said, ask them to teach you. You can also just ask them what's new. And you'd be surprised. They'll tell you, oh, you know what? Everyone's using yada, yada, yada. But I kind of like this. And then they'll show you their phone. And you're like, oh, I've never seen that before. What does it do? And they'll show you. They like that. So that's a way to touch base with them, to strengthen the relationship. And then they'll be much more likely to tell you if there's something going on. I think the disconnect between kids and parents nowadays is a communication one where we feel out of touch, and so we don't talk to them. They're still your offspring. That's still the baby that you either breastfed or gave formula to. No matter, it's not, no judging. You played with them when they were little. You taught them how to read and count. It's the same person. So, you know, stop acting like it's a stranger and you have to, I need to give her space. Kids don't need space. They don't even need a door on their bedroom. I mean, I could tell you stories about some of my friends with, you know, some parents are like, they're hardcore. I am too. I always have been because I feel like I love them so much. I need to be hardcore. If you're not hardcore about the people you love, do you really love them? So ask them what they're into. If they're on Discord, ask them if they know anybody who's sketch or sus. Sus is the new term. Sus is short for suspect. Ask them if they know anybody who's sus, the person they feel will be the next school shooter. You'd be surprised how many of them feel like there's someone at their school who is bullied, marginalized, or crazy enough to be a school shooter. I mean, you're going to go down the rabbit hole if you listen to me and Sergeant Betsy, and you belong in the rabbit hole, friends. You're the aunt, you're the grandma, you're the mom, whatever. You're related to a kid. Find out. Let them trust you. Let them have people in their life that know what they like and know who they are. They love that. And they'll grow up to be better people. Come on, y'all. Every time this happens, I just feel so sorry for the families whose kids got shot and the kid who was never really loved, who did the shooting. Unbelievable, all of this. Sergeant Betsy, it's always a pleasure when you come here. So much great information. I feel like everybody got a real full serving of common sense and truth. Everybody go to National Police Association. You want to close us out with anything, especially about your organization?
Absolutely. Go to nationalpolice.org. We appreciate, you know, the support that we get from your listeners. And we are a charity, and we are working hard right now, not just for the American law enforcement officer, but for people who deserve the best law enforcement service that they can get. We're trying to help people around the country stay safe. So go to nationalpolice.org, hit that donate button, sign up for our newsletter, because, boy, do we put out some great content. Follow us on social media. And as always, Stacey, we appreciate you, and we appreciate the prayers for the American law enforcement officer. It's a tough year for us again.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, please pray and head over to nationalpolice.org if you can. Support National Police. It's nationalpolice.org. Sergeant Betsy, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Stacey.
All right, thank you.